Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody get up.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. It is week 3-4, I can't even remember, of All Things Sports with Big Mike and C. Miller. How you doing? Hope your week is good. We let it a little Alan Thicke this morning, blurred lines, because we're going to start off, obviously, with the controversy from last night. The officials, did they get it right? Did they get it wrong? Lines are blurred. C. Miller, what do you think? Did the officials get it right?
Oh man, I think they got it wrong. It's obvious that it was a pass interference call. I mean, what more can you say? It was an obvious penalty. They threw the flag, and they should have left it out there, and there should have been one more play. Who knows? I mean, is the NFL fixed? I don't know why. What do you think they picked it up?
Well, they say they picked it up because they deemed the ball uncatchable. It's kind of like the same thing as a tip ball. Once the ball's tipped, pass interference comes off the board. They say it works the same way with an interception. And once the ball was intercepted, the ball never got to the receiver. You wave it off. However, at the very least, that's defensive holding. You can't call pass interference on that play. You call defensive holding because Kuechly was riding him out of bounds before the ball left Tom Brady's hands. You got to call something. You can't just pick the flag up. The worst part of the fact that they picked the flag up was they gave no explanation. They just picked up the flag and the officials
right.
Got the hell out of there. At the very least, you got to get on your mic and say what's going on.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, it's obvious from the replay that I've seen that the Gronk had a chance to get to that anyway. So as the ball was in the air, he was touched. So I don't even think it's – I think it's not in our
hands. And because it's Gronk, he's got a chance to get to it. He's 6'7". He's a beast. I mean, it's – you're trying to tell me a guy that big, that strong, with that much ability, couldn't have stopped on a dime and got to the ball? He absolutely could have. It should have been passing. Even though I might be a bigger Patriots hater than most, you got to call something. You can't just pick up the flag and let the play go away. However, you got to give it to Carolina. Cam played well. Even though it was obvious that they shut down the running game or geared up to shut down the running game, do you think Cam – does Cam take a step up? Is Cam moving closer and closer to the elite class, or is this just a game just kind of a flash?
He seems to be more focused. I got to think he is stepping up to the elite class. He plays a little bit different of a game. I mean, they're still running the spread option effectively. You know, from time to time he looks a little inaccurate. I don't know that his weapons are there to make a large run, but I think Cam is taking the necessary steps. I think he's definitely shown some progression in – what is this, his fourth year?
Third year.
Yeah, so he's obviously he's definitely showing some flashes of doing the right things. I know I heard I don't know if it was Gruden or Mike Tirico that said that he's spending a lot more time. His teammates have kind of taken notice, and you know, I think it shows in his play. He's always a threat to run on third down, which you know. He's a better version of Kaepernick, who I think later I definitely want to get into it. So I'm burning on a little bit I don't know that Kaepernick is going to be able to. I think he has accuracy issues. So, you know, Cam throws a good ball. So I think with the right coaching, I heard last night that Mike Shula's offensive coordinator there, you know, starting to make Riverboat Ron look good. So I think he's definitely taking a step in the right direction.
I actually agree. I think He did miss two or three wide open receivers last night, but you're right. When he gets it going, he throws a good ball, and I think he's the reason the read option still works with him and only him primarily is because of him. He's such a threat to run, and he's such a good runner when he does run. I think the way he fakes, the way he pulls it down, and now he pretty much only runs when he has to. He's not running a lot, and I think a lot of these other read option guys like Kaepernick, because he's not really throwing well downfield. He tries to run whenever he can, and the way Cam used to be, one read and he was out. Now he's sticking in the pocket a little bit longer and is making him a better quarterback.
Yeah, and I think accuracy is I think that's kind of an indictment on NFL quarterbacks, but I think from what I've seen, I think Cam is accurate enough to where he can win consistently in the league. I know Vince Young is maybe someone that was a flash in the pan, is someone that had accuracy issues, but Cam looks much better than that, so I don't think you can compare him to these guys that are so inaccurate. I think he'll just get better and better. He looks really good, so.
So
we'll see. They got to imagine they're moving up your rankings.
Well, I was going to ask you. So does that make them our? So do we say contender or pretender?
Well, I think if anyone's out there that's listened to multiple shows, I think both of us have kind of been on the contender bandwagon. So I think really we're just being validated there because we said that for weeks. The defense is solid. I think there's a lack of weapons. I definitely noticed that last night. Ted Ginn made a nice play there at the end, but there's definitely a weapons issue there.
I think if I can't think of anybody from a draft standpoint I could think of, but if they go out and get a Cam, a big time receiver, I think that team is one big time receiver away from being a real Super Bowl contender. Steve Smith. Maybe Steve Smith of 7 years ago could be your number one receiver, but you can't ask Steve Smith to be a number one receiver in this day and age of football. And
I agree, and I think they're one away. I mean, I think he's a damn good number two. So,
right.
If you get somebody that's taking the best cornerback, and you're putting the second best cornerback on Steve Smith, I think they could make a move. So I mean, I think we would agree that they're a year away, but definitely can make some noise. I think they can win a playoff game. But I don't see him winning on the road in the playoffs.
All right, moving on to our next game. The Niners and the Saints. That game turned on the Niners pretty much had it won. That game turned on a very controversial call. Once again, they did perhaps get it right.
Hey, that's a penalty. They threw it right away. Once again, I talked to a lot of 49er fans. They seem to be in my inner circle for some reason, and they're crying about it. Let's be honest. They're crying. It was a penalty. And I think the reason it was a penalty, I understand where people are coming from because, a quarterback gets hit hard and all of a sudden that became a penalty. But he slammed him by the neck. I mean, would you disagree with that? He finished the play by grabbing him and putting him to the ground by his neck. That's a penalty.
I will say this. I've been talking for the last two or three weeks on how I think the NFL is getting it wrong on these hits. By the letter of the rule, that's a penalty. I think the rule is bad. And I think the rule is left to too much interpretation by the referee. I think that because of Drew Brees' height and Ahmad Brooks' height, there was really no place else to hit him. And when his arm came around, Brees' head went down, his arm came up. Now it looks like a hit around the neck. By letter of the rule, if I'm the referee,
that's a penalty.
If I'm the referee, I'm throwing a flag. I just, however, think the rule is bad. I think it's making, how much more can we really protect these guys? And what really makes me sick, Drew Brees, if you're listening, the way these quarterbacks lobby for these penalties is ridiculous. He's in the press conference lobbying for it when he's already got it. It's too much. He's got to protect it too much. It's making the game, and I get it. I heard this on the radio this morning. I get it. The NFL doesn't want to see what's happening in Green Bay all over the league. You don't want to see Scott Tolzien starting all over the league. So you got to protect these quarterbacks. They are what makes the league money. But I just hope the league doesn't go any farther. Let it be a penalty and not a fine. What he did was, it wasn't malicious. He's actually getting blocked. There was nothing else he could do at that point.
You sound like you want it both ways, buddy. I don't think it'll be fined. It's not a finable offense. I know. Did you see Ray Lewis last night?
Oh, yeah, with the I'll pay half.
Paying half.
And Teddy Bruschi said he'd pay a third, too.
It's just because Teddy doesn't have as much money. But, there's not going to be a fine. I would be shocked if that's a fine. I think that they're gonna let that one go because it's a football play. It's just, like you said, you understand ahead of time. I understand ahead of time. it's a penalty. Ahmad Brooks should know that. It's unnecessary roughness in the day and age. It's not 1988 or 1982 for that matter. So it's a penalty, and everybody, the players should know, we know, the referees know. The referee threw it immediately. That's what I like, too. I mean, he didn't debate or, you know, he wasn't thinking about the situation of the game. It was his automatic reaction. So I think the right call was made there. And then with what you just said about antics, about the referees, here's what I'm tired of with antics is Jim Harbaugh. Is he a basketball coach? Because he's doing way too much on the sideline. Every call he has, he's jumping up and mouth wide open and taking his hat off. I am so sick of this guy on the sideline. He's not a basketball coach. Relax. Yo, you're an NFL coach. So, I've seen enough from Jim Harbaugh as well. And I think he's really feeling the pressure. I think, I don't know if we're going to go into it now, but I think the Niners have deeper issues. And I'm really thinking they may have difficulty making it into the playoffs. I know their schedule kind of lines up nice for them. But I think there's problems with Kaepernick. I think Harbaugh is trying to throw the ball too much. I don't know if he's trying to justify the decision of trading away 18-1 Alex Smith. So I think there's deeper issues there. So, yeah, definitely Harbaugh is doing too much.
I will agree with that. I didn't expect them to be 6-4 at this point, and I think they are
9-1 last year with.
And there's a funny thing. I think they are exactly what their record says they are. I think they're 6-14. That offense is very challenged. Last week when we had Adam on the show, he said it was weapons. I said it was weapons, but the more and more I look at them play, maybe it's not weapons. Maybe Kaepernick's not as good as we think he is. And two, you're right. It's got to be hard looking at Alex Smith flourish in Kansas City, doing what he does. If you had your quote unquote game manager now in San Francisco, there's a good chance they're winning some of those close games that they're losing. So
absolutely, I mean, no turnovers. The 49ers at least have one more win if Alex Smith's the quarterback. I'll put that out there. So.
And now they have the same exact record. And I know they probably hate this, and I know. I saw your boy Adam kind of went off on Facebook about this, but 6-4, they had the same record as the Cardinals. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying the Cardinals are legitimate contenders or as good as the 49ers, but they both
they're similar teams.
They're both 6-4, and they're both right there and with the Bears and some other teams at 6-4, and you're right. I think they said the Niners have the tiebreaker over the Bears and the Lions, so that probably helps, but you're right. They're right there, and they do have a legitimate chance of not making the playoffs.
Let me put you on the spot. Bears, Cardinals, and 49ers, if one makes the playoffs, who is it?
Niners.
Okay.
They're the better team. Although we won in a blizzard or in a rainstorm yesterday, so with a backup quarterback once again. So
right, against a quality opponent, too. So
yeah, we're not bad. We're just probably not as good as the Niners. So we're going to make a little run around the games here real quick, starting off with KC in Denver. Is KC a fraud? Were they proven to be a fraud last night, or do you think that that's just a blip and they'll get Denver back 2 weeks from now?
I think it proved that they are what I thought they were, to borrow a line from Dennis Green. I don't think they're a fraud. I think they're a playoff team, and I think they're a legitimate contender. I just don't think that they can beat an elite team. I think they had some chances out there Sunday night. I think they left some things. They showed that it was their first big game of the year. I think it'll be a little bit of a different story in Kansas City the next time. I think maybe with a home crowd behind them. I don't think they will lose by double digits next time. I think they can cover on the outside. They didn't get the Peyton Manning, but I think the defense is adequate. And like I said, maybe a home game, a little cold weather, get Peyton Manning outside on the road, and I think they can hang with Denver, but they're not going to finish ahead of Denver where they wouldn't be able to have home field advantage in the playoffs. So I think it proved, I said last week going in, I said it would be 10 points or more. It was 10 points. I feel validated there. I think they are, what I thought they are. What do you think?
Same here. Neither one of us were real high on Kansas City in the first place, so I think they are. Not only are they who we thought they were, but I think that they might be a little bit of a fraud. For all the good things you just said about Alex Smith, I'll say this: I don't think he can go out and get a game for you. I think he can not lose a game for you, but, like, there's games you got to have a quarterback go get, and I don't think he's the guy to go get them. And I think to really, really be a Super Bowl contender, you got to have that guy to go out. In today's football, you got to have a QB that can go out and get a game in the playoffs, maybe even on the road in the playoffs. And I don't think Alex Smith is that dude, and I don't think he'll ever be that dude. So yeah, I think KC, they'll lose that division. They'll be a fifth seed. They might get through the first round, and then they'll lose in the second round. I think that's if you're a KC fan, I think that's about as much you can realistically ask for.
Right, they would have to win a road game to win one, right?
Right.
I think
they could be, depending on who the –
go to Cincinnati.
Yeah, depending on who the fourth seed is, I think they could be the fourth seed on the road. But I think that's the best, as a KC fan, you can ask for. I think that when they get into the second round, they play either Denver or New England, they'll lose that game.
Okay, yeah, I agree. Kind of doing a whip around in the NFL Thursday night with Tennessee and Indianapolis. And Indianapolis, off to a slow start again. Any cause for concern there with your Colts?
First of all, they're not my Colts, but
well, they keep appearing in your top five, so I think I'm gonna call them your Colts.
Right, they're not my Colts, but I will say no real cause for concern. For whatever reason, they're playing down to their competition every week, which is a problem, but they always seem to manage to get it done in the end, so no real problem with the Colts.
Buffalo upset goes into New York, upset the Jets. It was actually in Buffalo, but they upset the Jets 37-14, I think. Geno Smith, he can't buy a win on the road. I've heard a lot of prognosticators say they're still maybe the lead team for that number 16 in the AFC. Any takeaways from that game?
When Geno's bad, he's really bad. That's my takeaway from that game. Like, he was really bad. And I've seen him be really good, but when he's bad, he's really bad.
He's real bad.
That was my takeaway from that.
Cincinnati, they beat their cross-state rival Cleveland 41-20, doubling them up. A few things that I took away from that game, those of you that play Tennessee football, you probably noticed A.J. Green didn't give you a single point. As someone that has A.J. Green, I kind of know his stats, and he only had two bad games this year, and they were both against Joe Hayden, so I think that speaks volumes about Joe Hayden. A.J. Green had five consecutive 100-yard games coming in, and Joe Hayden held him to two catches for 7 yards. So I took that away. Also, another takeaway, I like the Bengals in this one kind of going in. They lost two in a row. In the NFL, you can't have a three-game losing streak, so I thought they would come out focused, and they were able to deal with the deal. Oh, and then another takeaway also was Steve Montez Burfict.
He
looks good out there. So he's all over the field. He's got a was he a seventh rounder or a free agent?
I think he's a free agent. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. He's probably one of the top tacklers in the NFL at the very least.
Well, those of us who live in AZ, we know that they would say it all the time on the news. If that dude could ever get his weight down and actually look like he cared about football, we knew that dude could be good. I just didn't know he'd be this good, this fast. You got to give props to the coach there, Marvin Lewis, for doing what Dennis Erickson could never do, because that guy looks like the player that everyone here thought he would be as a college player. So hats off to him.
And then back to Joe Hayden, I don't know. He also shut down Megatron this year, which I think that's about been the only time that that's happened. So I don't know any love out there for Joe Hayden. I know a lot of people, probably a casual fan, might not even know the name Joe Hayden. But I was talking about with somebody on Sunday, and so I think Joe Hayden is just based on results. I don't watch a lot of Cleveland Brown games, but based on what he's done to the top two in the game, he's got to be top three corner in the league. I mean,
And that's a problem playing in Cleveland. Joe Thomas is probably the top tackle in the game, and no one knows. When you go to Cleveland, because of the fact that never any other stars there and the fact that, they don't win consistently, you do get lost. But I agree with you. I thought Joe Hayden was a good pickup when he came out of the draft. I would say he's easily top three corner in the league. I can't think of two Actually, off the top of my head, I can't even think of two corners I think are better than him. So.
Yeah, you're right. I know the local guy here should get some love, Patrick Peterson. He's a top five guy too. But yeah, Joe Hayden definitely getting a shout out. Next game was Washington went into Philadelphia, lost 24-16. I didn't get to see too much of that. Philadelphia stayed on track. I didn't know if they were for real. Any takeaways there?
One is, unless Nick Foles gets concussed, Michael Vick will never see the field again on that team, and he shouldn't. And two,
you started Riley Cooper. Come on, man. That didn't work for you, did it?
He's got 7 points. I mean,
oh, did he? Okay.
He got 7 points. Actually, oh, we won't get into fantasy yet.
Yeah, we don't.
We'll get into that later, but I will say that, I think that they're definitely the front runner in that division. And I think that I think they'll win that division. I can't see, even though the Giants are making this run and Dallas is still there, I think right now they look like the best team in that division.
I think so. And I've seen just looking ahead on the schedule, I've seen something to think about too is that Philly plays Dallas the last week, so the schedule makers got that one right. So it'll probably be a playing game. The Cowboys are going to win a couple more. So that seems like to me Tony Romo will have this. Same opportunities had the last 2 years.
I was about to say, every year where Tony Romo's got to win a game on the last day of the season, we all know how that plays out. So I'm looking forward to seeing that train wreck.
Cowboy fans are – if he loses for 3 years in a row, Cowboy fans are running him out of town.
They just gave him all that money.
Next game, we had Atlanta lose to Tampa Bay. Nothing we can take away from that one because both those teams are terrible. But
I can't believe how bad Atlanta is, actually.
They're bad.
I can't believe how bad they are. If I'm Tony G, I really am mad that I came back for this.
And if I'm Mike Smith, I'm starting to, I know he got a vote of confidence earlier, but it looks like they're laying down. They look kind of like you said, they look like one of the worst teams in the league.
Yeah, easily.
So that's how you lose your job even after you get a vote of confidence. So.
I can't. I mean, it doesn't look like you know how – I will say this for – the other side of Tampa Bay, we thought Shiano was a lame duck, but they're actually starting to play a little hard for him. They're not playing hard for Mike Smith.
Right. So, yeah, no, that says a lot. We'll have to do a coaching little session about who's getting fired and who's staying. But next game on the little wraparound is my Detroit Lions went into Pittsburgh. Had a second-half lead and then ended up losing 37-27. Letting your Bears back into the division. I mean, that was a big game for the Lions. That was a team that they should have beat. Threw for 300-plus yards in the first half and then basically came out in the second half and laid down and didn't gain a yard. And I think as a Lions fan, we did the same thing out here in Arizona. And I think it's a problem. We're another one of those NFL teams where we're young and, we just can't win on the road regardless of the opponent. So I think that was a little bit of a red flag for Lions fans. Are we division champs or are we just pretending and going to get in the playoffs and then get waxed like we normally do?
Well, I got a cheer against the Lions right now. Being a Chicago guy, you did let us back in and don't think we don't appreciate it. However, I was going to move games, but I'll just stay with this one. I'll just say that I think – out of all those teams in the AFC, like right now, I think they say that the season was over. The Jets are the last playoff team. Don't be surprised, man, if the Steelers get back in this. Like, if right now in the AFC, 5-5, if 5-5 right now in the AFC would get you in the playoffs, what are the Steelers now, 4-6?
But that defense is bad. That's what.
If the best out there right now for that sixth playoff spot is the Jets, the Steelers aren't better than the Jets.
Didn't the Jets beat them head to head? I mean,
I can't remember, but I mean that was before Ben. Like Ben's kind of playing like Ben now. That was before Ben really started, playing like himself. Like Ben started to play like Ben. I wouldn't be shocked if they got back in it. That it's a whole jumble of 4-6, 5-5 teams. I mean, why not the Steelers?
Well, I hear what you're saying, but you're not getting me to buy the Steelers the week after they beat my Lions. I'll guarantee that. Steelers are getting my love here.
Fair enough.
We'll just I'll choose to move on. Next, we the local team, Arizona, went out to Jacksonville and got a 27-14 win. Really, my takeaways from that were just Jacksonville's bad. We know that. Another team that got up to an early lead, they can't play defense. Even the Cardinals look good on the road. Carson Palmer can have a 300-yard passing game against you. You know, you're bad. So that kind of was chalk there. I don't know if you want to say anything about that game. Not much to say. Arizona needs to prove themselves this next week.
What we had to say about that game is I'm glad the Cardinals won a game they're supposed to win. A lot of times they lay an egg in those games, so good for them.
Yeah, that's true, and that's a good defense. I mean, we'll it'll be interesting to see. We'll have a lot more to say about them. I want to see them play Indianapolis this week. Vegas has stuck them as a 2-point favorite, so I think
The Cardinals are favored in that game.
Yeah, by two NAZ. So
give me Indianapolis plus the 2, but I'm a horrible sports bettor, so don't go with me.
These damn Cardinals for the last 3 years, they're good at home. Other than the year they had John Skelton, they're good at home. So give them a quarterback, and they seem to get wins out here. A couple other games just to finish up the week. You had Seattle putting one on Minnesota. Percy Harvin's return. I watched at a bar for the second half games, and I don't think I looked at that TV one time. I knew the result of a lot of annoying Seahawks fans in the house, and I think that one was pretty much chalk. They went at home. That's really enough said.
Trade AP. That's all I have to say.
Fire Leslie Frazier. That's all I have to say because his team is terrible.
I mean, he was a playoff team last year.
You're letting your Bears.
He got a team that wasn't supposed to make the playoffs in the playoffs last year.
Did AP do that?
I mean, he's the coach. Yeah, I mean, if you got to give credit to the coach somewhat.
Is he going to coach in 2014?
Probably not.
He doesn't deserve to.
I don't know if I would go that far. He got a team led by Christian Ponder into the playoffs. Yeah, he's made some bad moves this year. I don't know if that was organizational or him. The whole starting Josh Freeman on Monday night was a debacle. So I get what you're saying, but, you know, let's not make him sound like he's the worst coach that ever coached football. I mean, he's made a few mistakes.
They're going to open a new stadium. He's on the way out. They need to get some hype around that team. He'll probably get fired. And then the last game of the week was the New York Giants beat the Green Bay Packers, and I know we both like to see that. The Packers falling out of the race a little bit. They're down to 5-5. So, it's just a tough game. The Giants have won 4 in a row. It's to go on the road with your third-string quarterback and win is no easy task, and they weren't able to do that. So, that pretty much wraps up our NFL week as far as game. We're going to take a little bit of a break here, give you guys some commercials. If you're out there, call in. We'll be talking some fantasy if you're into that kind of stuff, or if you got any questions on anything we've said, or just want to talk to the NFL or anything out there in the world of sports. Give us a call, Mike. Give them the number.
The number is 718-766-4553. If you want to get at us, we're going to take some commercials, and we'll be back.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today...
The
only thing I didn't learn is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
Are you thinking about getting your GED diploma? Well, here at the GED Pep Talk Center, we've got a number of pep talks that can motivate you.
Sometimes things don't always turn out the way you want them to.
You know that feeling? People look at you and don't believe in you.
You want some gentle encouragement. Then you're on your way to your GED diploma and a better life.
But I know you're probably just a little bit nervous.
You can find it in yourself to take that first step.
You can improve your future.
You can do this. I know you can.
You need to start pushing yourself.
Now get your game face on and take the first step towards a better life.
Hurry up! Don't make me repeat myself.
Whatever level of motivation you need to get your GED diploma, we've got a pep talk that's right for you. Call 1-877-38-YOUR-GED or visit yourged.org for your pep talk and find free GED classes in your area. GED is a registered trademark of the American Council on Education, brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
First and foremost, I kind of wanted to bring up, we've been talking for a couple weeks, and I'd like to introduce you to how to learn, and the Brooklyn Nets.
Man, feels good to be right. For those of you, if we do have any steady listeners out there, I did say the thing about that team I didn't like was the fact that they had a brand new coach, and maybe, you know, when some adversity hit, the coach wouldn't really, you know, Jay Kidd, the new coach, wouldn't really know how to get him through it. And then right now they're 3-7 and they're spiraling down, and he doesn't seem to know how to get them through it. My man Miller, who is a Jay Kidd dude, actually said differently. Anything to say now, Miller? Play calling and more to do with dealing with your personalities. Darren Williams, I think he's your Darren Williams and Joe Johnson are the two max players. Are Darren Williams and Joe Johnson really max players? Probably not. The two games I've seen them play, actually their best player is probably Brook Lopez, who, you know, while he doesn't rebound well, is actually really talented post offensive player. I think your problem is if you're counting on KG and Paul Pierce to be your saviors, that's your problem. I think they're old. I think that they, like I say, KG was planning on actually retiring. I think that if you bring them in to help your stars, then you got something. If you bring them in to be the stars, then you have a problem. And I think the problem with them is the two people, Joe Johnson and Darren Williams, who are supposed to be the stars of that team, just aren't stars. And you're right. I think with Darren Williams, it might be a personality issue. You know, Jerry Sloan was in this league for years, and all of a sudden you come in and you can't play for him. He's been, you know, successful for years in Utah. And basically Darren Williams got him fired. Maybe he's just that guy who you're right, got him to quit. I think maybe Darren Williams is that guy who can't be coached. If you're a rookie head coach and you got a guy who can't be coached, you're really going to have trouble. So I think that's my – I mean, you know, we're not in that locker room. We don't know what the real problem with those teams is, but that team is just some speculation. I think they might bring in a veteran coach to be an assistant. I think that you can't fire – yeah, you can't fire J.K., but maybe you bring in, like an Avery Johnson. Yeah, you bring in a guy and just say, like, hey, you know, guide him through this or, you know, get him through this, who is kind of – will be your head coach, you know, by default, but for the most part, you leave J.K. in that spot because if you fire him now, it's kind of a team embarrassment, so.
Well, hey, speaking of being right, 5. I told you Michigan State and Kansas. And, when they were able to jump, that, you know, ended up being second rounders, not making any rosters. Some of those guys end up playing a year, and then they see, like, oh, damn, I'm not even starting, or I'm not who I thought I was. You know, you got this guy, J.D. Carson, that's out here at Arizona State. You know, he was all-world, and I could see somebody like, you know, maybe we went to the league right away, and maybe we went straight to the D-League. So, you know, now he stayed for a few years, and maybe made himself become a higher pitch, so he probably made a little bit of money in the process. All right, because I think
Yeah, I can't think of his name, but the guy from U of A, Nick something, was supposed to be one and done, and now he's about to be a junior, so he realized that, yeah, his game wasn't where he thought he was, and you're right, now he can stay a little bit longer, make a little money for himself, so I think everybody wins. I know, like I said, a lot of people are against it, but I think everybody wins when in the one and done system. Moving on to another sport real quick, staying in college, we'll go with college football. Do you have any comments on the Urban Meyer comments about the BCS and how the system's flawed and, you know, how his team is getting a bad, basically, you know, because they've been undefeated last year, they probably won't be in a national championship either one of those years. Do we have any sympathy whatsoever for Urban Meyer?
It's tough. We have only undefeated right now, and you know, going into where we got a 4-3 playoff, maybe this team would be a part of that. You know, they're trying to improve the system, so I don't want to hear sour grapes from the last year. I didn't hear his exact comments, but he's kind of just doing what he has to do. He's saying that for his players. He's got to rally his guys and you know, make them relevant. And I think the BCS will play itself out. I mean, not that Ohio State will lose, but they don't deserve to play
for the
national title anyway, so I don't care.
And I agree. There was one year where, yeah, one lost Florida to being played for the national championship when there was two undefeateds behind him. So, I'm not buying it now. And you're right. He's doing, you know, that's part of your job as a head coach. You have to lobby for your team. But, it's ridiculous to hear now that all of a sudden he wants to say it's a flawed system. I never heard anything about it being a flawed system when he was in Florida. And I don't know what his personal life is like. He said he left Florida. He said he left Florida for his health and his family and that sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
And then he came back a year later.
But
here's the problem, you know, Brett Bielema showed us this. You don't leave the SEC for the Big Ten. You just don't. Like, if you want to be in that national championship talk every year, you stay in the – that's where it's at. You stay in the SEC. I'm a little bit of an SEC hater, but let's face it, a one-loss SEC team has a better shot than an undefeated Big Ten team. The Big Ten has always been top-heavy. The bottom of that conference has always been a bunch of things. And I'm speaking from a guy whose favorite team is at the bottom of that conference. They haven't won a Big Ten game since October of 2011, actually. I heard that stat today, actually. So that didn't make me feel good. But, you know, I mean, those are the teams he's beat. Northwestern's lost six in a row. So that win doesn't mean anything. They actually gave up 35 to Illinois. In winning that game, so that game does they've beaten Big Ten opponents, but I mean, the Big Ten, for lack of a better word. Now the Michigan State when they play Michigan State in the Big Ten championship, that win will mean something, but even the Michigan win won't mean anything because that team's bad. So,
be careful. They may not be Michigan. I think Michigan State could beat Ohio State. So. That's why I said, let the BCS play out. It's too early to hear all this. What we know about Stanford will lose to USC. They're still going to be fantastic. It happens at this time of year every year. I think the football is different. So, Urban Meyer, don't get into stuff, please.
Well, one big question about, I'm curious, know your opinion of. So, if Baylor wins out, does Baylor jump them?
Do they jump Ohio State?
Yeah.
I think Ohio State loses again.
Okay.
So,
Unless something goes incredibly wrong, I think our national championship is set too. Any chance Alabama loses to Auburn?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are you picking that?
No, I'm not picking
that. All right.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Alabama is vulnerable. I think correct.
football questions, and then we'll move on. One, did you see the end of the Auburn-Georgia game?
Oh, my gosh.
That's probably, I think it was LSU and Kentucky a few years ago on the Hail Mary, similar to that. But other than that play, that's probably one of the biggest miracles I've seen in college football and that I can think of in recent history. And two, with all the high expectations they had at Georgia this year, does Mark Richt stay?
I think we've had this conversation off air as well. I think Mark Richt deserves to stay. I don't think there's a better alternative there. I think I know he's had some struggles over the last few years. He can recruit. He's a big name. He continues to get top five athletes there. I think he may not be a big game coach, but. I don't think there's a better alternative, so yeah,
Is that the fifth loss, right? Or fourth or fifth loss?
Well, that's a team that's also decimated by injuries.
Yeah, I agree.
Young on defense. There's freshmen and sophomores all over that defense, so I don't know what kind of, a lot of times coaching changes happen with athletic director changes and stuff. I don't know the ins and outs of that, but I would be surprised to see him go.
I'm just always amazed that, you're right, for the amount of talent that he's able to bring in that moves on to the league year in, year out, that he hasn't been just a little more successful. You're right, this year he hasn't been a lot of injuries, but I just feel with the amount of talent that he has, they should probably be a little more successful year in, year out. But,
They're all those four schools right there. I don't know. Can he put together a good enough team? That schedule that they play every year?
No, I agree. You got to – the teams that can, and then, and I give them credit for this, to play Clemson out of conference, like a lot of these coaches, Alabama's one, they're not a conference schedule, never completely impressive. Like to go out of conference first game of the year and play Clemson, I think you get some points for that. And I think that, I actually think he should stay. I guess after watching that team against Clemson, and then I can't remember who they beat the week after that. But after watching that team and, the amount of talent they had, I just thought they'd be better, and maybe I'm a little disappointed they're not as good as I thought they could be.
Right. They lost a lot of receivers, and don't forget the jump. But let me give you this example. I think, what about Tennessee? I don't think you should fire these guys that can recruit. Tennessee lost Bill Fulmer, and they have not been the same in the SEC. I think they have been the same. You don't want to get rid of a guy that can recruit because you can go kind of from a top tier team to a bottom tier team real quick. And I think Georgia's still a top tier team in Montreal.
That is a great example. Tennessee is, you're right. Like, during the Peyton Manning era and beyond, that was probably when they fired Phil Fulmer, that was probably one of the top jobs in college football. And now they haven't fielded a good team since he left, so. Right.
Because, right, as you call the bottom of the SEC, nobody wants to coach the SEC from the bottom. You don't want those Kentucky from state jobs because it's almost such a miracle to win in that conference.
No, that's a good point. I think every coach they've had since they like, you know, with the exception of Lane Kiffin, who left on his own, and they've done like 1 or 2 years and then got fired. So. No, he wouldn't have. And he knew that, and that's why that's one of the reasons he left. But no, that's a great example. The SEC is all about being able to recruit, you know, those southern states. And if you can't recruit, you're right. You're gonna. And one thing we know Marv Rick can do is recruit. So you're right. It's firing a good recruiter might be a bad idea. Actually, I don't have any. I think. Excuse my language. I'm still, you know, I still bow to your Oregon knowledge. You were right on. Like, you actually predicted how the game would go, and it went that way. So, when it comes to college football right now, I don't have a lot to say to you. You are head and shoulders ahead of me in that. We got about 10 minutes of show left. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back. Talk a little fantasy, and then maybe give our own little personal rants, and then we're out. So hang on. We'll be right back.
The odds of a young girl being discovered by an industry insider while singing to herself pumping gas? 1 in 300 million. The odds of the daughter of a clergyman from Severn, Maryland spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of selling over 40 million records? 1 in 800,000. The odds of this musician and performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Attention all shoenistas. Looking for a hot stiletto? Are you addicted to sexy shoes? Make a fashion statement and check out the Stiletto Diva at www.thestilettodiva.com. We have what you need. The Stiletto Diva is committed to bringing you a variety of affordable, quality styles to help complete the sexy in you. We're here to assist you with bringing out the ultimate diva from head to soul. True divas wear stilettos. Visit us at www.thestilettodiva.com to find the perfect pair or for information about booking a party.
All right, we're back on All Things Sports. I apologize for playing the Stiletto Diva commercial for anyone listening. All right, moving on. We'll start a little. Any fantasy talk you want to get into there, Mr. Miller?
Well,
Real quick. So, Mr. Miller talked me into going with Mark Ingram over Bobby Rainey with my waiver pick. As we know, Rainey went for like 163 yards and 2 touchdowns, and Ingram did what Ingram does.
This guy is so reactive to 1 week.
You care to defend that a little bit?
Yeah, I do actually, because I think go ahead and put Mark Ingram in your starting lineup this week. I think he's going to be the hammer against Atlanta. I expect one touchdown from him at the least, and possibly two. So I think don't overreact to 1 week. Tampa Bay, I stick to what I said last week. Tampa Bay is going to be behind a lot. Bobby Rainey's not taking you to a fantasy championship. Neither is Mark Ingram, for that matter. So. You know, I pretty much told you that at the time, but don't overreact to this Bobby Rainey stuff because they're going to be behind. They're going to play better competition. Was it that against Atlanta?
Atlanta, yeah.
I mean, come on. That's like a JV defense out there.
And look what happened. I won anyway, so I scored 105 for the first time in a week. So, you know, I'm okay. We'll be all right.
Yeah.
The Crown Royal Kings will survive, hopefully. Right now we're in that 8th spot, so.
And then in the big money league that we play in, the league that we kind of focus most of our attention, Man, that last play last night actually affected me being in first place tonight. I was up by 1 point, and the guy that's in first place had Carolina D, so that final interception gave him first place over me, or otherwise I'll be on top this week gloating about that. So I'm 1 point out of first place. I'm trying to get my lineup set. I'm ready to go. I know when I look down that lineup, as far as the potential playoff teams, I think that I looked at it today. I think out of the top nine, I think the worst team is Sam's team, and I'm trying to line up to play him in the playoffs because I'm smashing him definitely. Or A-Bomb's team is bad too, so get them out of there. The other teams, I don't want to play you. You have LeSean McCoy. I don't want to play anyone with a good quarterback, Drew Brees. I'm not trying to play Andy, so. You know, these last 2 weeks, I got playoff spots clinched already, so I'm more just trying to line my playoff matchup up. So
I can say this about
I'm coasting. It's playoffs for you starting this week.
I'm gonna say this about both leagues that I'm in. I actually don't deserve to be in the playoffs in either league. One, and the big money league, I have constantly, repeatedly made bad decisions and lost games about who to start and who not to start, and who to pick up and not to pick up. I may be the worst fantasy player in the hit. Like, the only way I get by in fantasy is just because I have more general sports knowledge than other people. But I'm such a horrible fantasy player that I shouldn't be allowed in anyone's league. And secondly, in that other league we're in with Derek's league, I spent so much time focused on the big money league, I've completely neglected my team. Injuries have happened, and now that team's turned out to be bad, and I'm spiraling downward on that one. So if I had that league, I actually had a chance to win. If I put the time into that league that I've put into the league that I'm not going to win anyway, I would have at least had a chance to win some money. However,
no chance, huh?
Well, Dan's got the hammer in that league.
You're singing the same song every time at this time of year. So
I'm bad. I can admit I'm not good at this. I don't know why I'm not good at this. I'm not good at this.
Now, I'll agree with you and Derek. I think Dan's team is – I would be surprised if he lost. It's kind of like he's a 15-1 Patriots. Somebody's going to have to really just play great defense to beat him. But I don't know. I'm a firm believer that first place never wins the league title. So,
that's true.
I hope he gets beat. Dan, if you're out there listening. I hope you get beat.
Dan, I hope you get beat, too. Nothing personal. I just know that if you won, I would have to hear your mouth every time I saw you, and I don't want that. So, I read about...
Hey, I'm going out on the limb, too, man. Back to your Mark Ingram thing. If you don't have a better option, please start him this week. He plays on Thursday, which is sometimes a curse. But believe me, you'll be vindicated in your selection of Mark Ingram.
Unfortunately, LeSean McCoy is on the bye, so I kind of have to play him. So
yeah, plug and play then. You'll be good to go this week. Anybody with Mark Ingram out there, ATS advice, C. Miller, start Mark Ingram.
Well, the good thing is I'm playing Zoe, so.
Bottom feeder.
No offense, Zoe, if you're out there listening, you my boy, but your team's not very good, and that gives me a chance to win. And I think one.
He's got Bobby Rainey, so.
Yeah, I know.
We'll see.
So I think actually, one more win might get me in. We'll see. All right, we got about a minute and a half worth of show left. You got anything you want to rant on real quick, Mr. Miller, before we get out of here?
Oh man, personal rant. You know what? I don't even have anything. I really got nothing. You know, Thanksgiving's coming up. I hope Aaron Rodgers doesn't come back. I guess that's really about all I can think of. Packers need to shut him down for the season. That's about it, man. You know, I want to see what happens this next week with my Lions. I'm a little disappointed. I don't have NFL-wise. I really don't have. That kind of took away some of my. I was starting to think we could possibly make a run just by having the lead offense. I thought, you know, maybe we could surprise somebody and get a win on the road. After winning our division home playoff game, now I'm a little worried about not even winning the division. So, you know, I want to see what happens. This week, last week, a bye, so I think that's good. Let's get these fantasy playoffs started as well. It was good to just talk kind of off the cuff about our league. You know, I was going to post and then talk shit to everyone, but, man, in our league, everyone's feelings were getting hurt so much, I didn't even want to do it. I just want to keep a low profile so people aren't taking extra time researching against me.
All right. Well, Miller took up all the time, so my rant is going to be NFL.
He got extra time, man.
It's
not live.
These hits, man. Can we hit somebody without throwing flags or getting fined? I'm getting sick of watching. I know I say this every week, and people are getting sick of hearing it every week, but these hits are killing me. That's all I got to say.
Ah, the tough guy of the show, man. Those are the rules. Those rules are written in.
And the rules regulate every rule. Okay, let me ask you this. When was the last time the NFL came up with a new rule that's legislated against the offense?
That
would happen. Every new rule legislates against defense.
You're pro bowling, and you want people to get hurt. So I really don't know what you're saying, honestly.
Has there been any rule that legislates against offense in the last 10 years?
Offensive pass interference is a 15-yard penalty from the line of scrimmage. That's significant.
Oh, they added 5 yards to that. Okay, that's big. That's huge. It's not significant. It's actually not significant.
It's not significant?
No, it's not significant. 5 extra yards is not significant.
What about where you can't block high and then go low?
All right, I'll give you that one. But
they're trying to make the game safer, man. Come on, we know the rules.
Okay. I'm not saying I'm against safety. I'm just saying that. These hits, man. These are just good hits. A lot of these hits look good to me, and I don't know. What the hell am I talking about? Anyway.
All things sports.
Hey, thanks for listening. If you're out there, we really do appreciate your time. If you're listening and you got a friend who's not listening, get them listening. So from C. Miller to Big Mike, you guys have a good day, and we'll see you next week.